This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. Last autumn, a group of African-American students at Illinois State University protested the cancellation of a student activity. The objection broadened to include a number of other issues and became known as hashtag AntiBlackISU. ISU President Larry Deeds tried to calm the situation through dialogue with various student constituencies and promised continued attention to their issues. Charlie Schlenker talks with President Deeds about how that work is going.
Well, it's an ongoing process. I was delighted that the students that were involved in that protest were able to sit down and talk with us about their concerns, which were well beyond the cancellation of an event. They had concerns about housing. They had some concerns about treatment in the classrooms, concerns about the police. So they enumerated a number of these issues that were really deeper than the issue about one event. And oftentimes that's the case. One event can kind of be the tip of the iceberg. And
climate issues and
right.
Microaggression issues.
Exactly.
And institutional approaches to ethnic minorities.
That's right. That's right. So we've done a lot of soul searching on that. We continue to meet with those students. We have a meeting set up, as a matter of fact, first part of next month. That's going to be a part of a training session for those students and for a lot of administrators that I'm bringing to the table to go through training. The academic affairs area has hired a person that is going to try to do a better job of recruiting faculty from underrepresented backgrounds. As part of the other issue, we are examining the number of counselors that we have and the number of counselors that we have who are from underrepresented backgrounds. Our chief of police is giving a presentation about police role and when cars are stopped and the incidents related to that. We've had our director of housing come in and talk to that group of students about the training that they're doing. So our Office of Equal Opportunity is looking at pulling data together about what our numbers are like on the campus of students as well as our faculty and staff that serve those students and, you know, kind of where we are numerically and are we really representing the students that we serve. And so we're taking this very seriously. I'm very pleased that the students have been engaged with us. This is not a quick fix, one-size-fits-all kind of a situation at all, but I'm pleased that we're having conversation, honest and good dialogue, and I think we're moving forward.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Illinois State University President Larry Dietz, as we do from time to time. The University of Connecticut recently tried to expel two students from university housing for using racial slurs, hate speech. The university is in trouble, getting sued. The claim is that the First Amendment protects speakers of slurs with limited exceptions. Court rulings on the amendment have spelled out only a very few narrow categories, including true threats, fighting words, and incitement that are reasons that the First Amendment won't apply. How does ISU try to navigate this particular conflict of rights?
Well, it's a messy area. Free speech in itself is a messy area, but I've had conversations over time with a number of our faculty members, some of our students, and other people that are interested in the free speech issue kind of generally. And at times I've been asked to put in a free speech zone on the campus. And I've resisted that because as soon as you cordon off a place and said this is the only place that people can really have free speech, you essentially denied that opportunity for a lot of other people on the rest of the campus. And so I've resisted that, and I don't see a time, at least during my tenure here, where we will have any restrictions about that. Free speech can be offensive to some people, and we have individuals who come on the campus every now and then, and some people are offended by the messages that they have. And my suggestion to those individuals is that the best way to handle that is to take a different sidewalk and not listen to it and move on. Oftentimes, individuals who are trying to do that are trying to gather a crowd and trying to confront those individuals in different kinds of ways. So they kind of get their way in creating their own audience. And so I think free speech is something that, you know, we're vigilant about, that we want people to be able to express themselves. Sometimes it is offensive. And we hope, though, that people will follow one of the values of the institution, and that is a respectful environment. And I'd say for the most part, we have that on the campus, but I can't say that it's a true 99.9% of the time or 100% of the time, but I would say it's true a very high percentage of the time.
Well, universities try to promote a healthy discourse. And
right.
How does ISU try to make sure that the constructive dialogue outweighs the destructive dialogue?
Well, I think we've been done a pretty good job through a lot of different venues, including lecture series, bringing in panels to represent different perspectives on different issues, on hot topics and sometimes controversial topics. I think that we encourage folks to have a good and meaningful and respectful dialogue. We're a university, for heaven's sakes, and that's where we ought to have healthy exchange of ideas. And as long as people are civil about that and respectful, then we can all learn from each other. So that's the environment that we're really trying to promote.
Illinois State University President Larry Dietz is our guest. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Let's move on to facilities. University officials cruelly force you to move your parking place. And as a result, they're building out the bottom floor of Julian Hall, the information technology and computer center of the campus. Update us on that build out, would you?
Well, I'm delighted to move my parking spot. A lot of other people had their parking spots moved as well. It's for a good situation. Back in May of 19, the board approved a $6 million renovation for Julian Hall for the cybersecurity classroom and collaboration spaces, and it's the bottom floor of that Julian that we're really doing. We looked at a couple of different options. One option was to do a part of it and leave the other part for parking, and we really decided that we're going to need that space for the continued expansion of that program, and it was going to be more financially feasible to just do the whole thing at one time. So that's why the whole thing got cordoned off, and I think ultimately it's really going to be worth the time and energy for that. $5 million of that $6 million project come from university funds. There was a generous grant from State Farm to help us get the cybersecurity program going, and so $1 million of the physical facility part will come from that $3 million grant, and then there was another $2 million to match that for an endowed chair and $1 million for facility improvements. So that $3 million really helped get this project off the ground, and we're very appreciative to State Farm. So the program's growing like Topsy. It's very popular, and those students are going to get jobs as soon as they graduate because that cybersecurity is such a hot item.
The target opening for Illinois State University's new student housing project has been pushed back until fall of 2022. Work continues on a business plan and facility design. The range has been $90 million to $120 million. Has that estimate become more precise?
Well, that's part of the issue about opening it. I'm not as concerned about when we open the thing as I am about what's the price point, can students afford it, what's it going to look like, and so we need to get closer on our figures with that, with our group that's helping us build it. The Gilbain Company is a group that we're negotiating with right now, and you know, it's typically an issue of what would you like to have and what can you afford to buy. And so we're trying to get those two closer together, and those are ongoing negotiations. So I'm really more focused on us getting that right than I am on naming a particular fall of a particular year. Having said that, you know, we want to build it again as quickly as we can because we're bursting at the seams with freshmen and sophomore students. So as soon as it can come online, everybody will be better off. But I'm really focused on that price point.
Is the fall of 2022 likely to be a hard number, or is it still pretty soft?
I'd say it's soft right now. We're striving for that. That's a goal. But we've got to get closer on our numbers, and we just have more discussions to make. Staff's working really hard on this with the Gilbain folks, and I know there were meetings that were occurring this week on that.
What's the broad outline on how to pay for it?
Well, it's going to be right now it looks like we're trying to get a P3 facility, a public-private partnership similar to Cardinal Court. Some of the discussion is really around, is that the best way to go, or should we bond it the way we do other facilities like this? But ultimately, the payment will come through the people that are living in the facility over time. But we were successful at Cardinal Court. It's been a good project. A lot of students are having good housing experiences out there. And that was a P3 project, but we'll see about the future of this one. But more work needs to be done. Sounds like the ending of most good theses and dissertations, and that is more research needs to be done on this topic. So that's the case with a housing project, too.
What's the current status of the comprehensive campaign?
Well, I tell you, it's just great. I'm so thankful and grateful to our donors. We ended the year last calendar year over $170 million. And when we started out with a goal of $150 million, and we exceeded that goal at the end of last fiscal year, June 30, and then to have another terrific fall semester really was terrific. But we still have our foot on the gas. We're still raising money. I'm still and all of our staff are still talking to donors. And so we really hope to knock it out of the park even further. So it's just been a terrific success, and we're very appreciative for all the good, not only the dollars, but the goodwill that's come our way as a result of that.
Are there consequences to the institution from not being ambitious enough in a campaign?
Well, it's a good question. You don't want to set a goal that you don't achieve. And we haven't had a lot of experience at this. This is only our second campaign in the history of the oldest public university in the state. So we haven't had a lot of a lot of history. I think at the time when we set $150 million, we thought that was a
stretch,
a little bit of a stretch, because the old goal, as I remember, is about $100 million, and we exceeded that a little bit, but we thought maybe $150 might be a bit of a stretch. The thing that we had some large gifts that came in that always helped this, but the bulk of the money that comes in are from the over 50,000 donors that have given to this campaign. Over 26,000 are new donors that have never been involved with us before. That bodes well for our future and future campaigns. So I would rather set a goal and exceed the goal than stretch too far and not hit it. If we were looking backward, maybe we should have been a little more ambitious with a goal. But we thought at the time 150 was a bit of a stretch.
Illinois State University President Larry Dietz, thanks so much for visiting with
Always
us.
Always a pleasure, Charlie. Thank you.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.
The official end date for the Redbird Rising Comprehensive Fundraising Campaign is June 30th. This is Sound Ideas.